In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Morning.
Morning.
It's a big day in the church and in the world. It's Trinity Sunday. It's the Sunday of the Great Commission when we're sent out into the world as apostles and disciples. And it is Father's Day. So I wish happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. Happy Father's Day to you. I have my official Father's Day button on that my son Tim gave me that said, behind every great dad is a great kid. If you know my son Tim, he believes that with all his heart. And it's true, your children are what make you great as fathers, wouldn't you agree? So, and also, I think about my own dad. I think about the expression that I never knew how much my dad loved me until I had a son. And so for those of us who remember their fathers with joy, whether they're here with us or gone beyond, we celebrate their lives today. And my father had the gift of keeping things simple. And so as I went through these readings this morning, and when I thought about the simple instructions that were mostly given, and somewhat part of the story is complicated and maybe difficult to understand, still most of what we're told to do is simple and needs to be kept simple and understood simply. And my father had the gift of that. Particularly, he told us over and over, constantly and consistently, he would say to my brothers and I, my job is to teach you right from wrong. And I'll do that. And he did. And he also continued with, and it's up to you to choose. So therefore, I knew that I knew what was right from wrong, and then I got to choose it, and so I was never a victim. I was what I would make of myself. Now, I'm going to give you an example of that, the way my father taught us. I should be too ashamed, really, to tell you this story, but it's a story about him, not me. And the summer when I was 16 years old, the first weekend when we're out of school, which for me would have been a time of liberty and freedom and adventure, and the first Friday off of school, five of my friends and I conspired to stay out all night. And I know I didn't invent that, but the way we pulled it off was a very clever way of saying it. We all said we were sleeping at someone else's house, and so I said to my dad that I would be sleeping at Craig's house, and I didn't. The next morning, I went to work at this diner where I worked at 7 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock, I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and it said, we're all busted. We were seen leaving this girl's apartment at 1 or 2 in the morning when her mother came home, and she gave us all up. So that night, I went home after work, and my dad didn't bring it up. And I certainly wasn't going to. So later on that evening, I told my dad I wanted to go out that night, and he said, no, I wouldn't be doing that. And I said, why? And of course, we both knew why. And what he said to me was this. He said, you lied to me. He never brought up the fact that I shouldn't have been at some girl's house in the middle of the night. He never said anything about beer or where I got it or how much we drank or where I slept the rest of the night or anything else. He said, you lied to me. And if you play the tape backwards, that's where the trouble started. Nothing bad could have happened after that. My father didn't want me to be a liar. And so when he said, you're grounded, I said, for how long? He said, till you go back to school. And as angry as I was that day is equal to how grateful I am to my dad today for telling me, I mean this. I'm teaching you right from wrong. And you don't lie. There's a code. You keep the code. It's about honor. You give your word and you keep your word. And I praise my dad for that. He kept it simple. And in the same way as we go forward into the letter to from Paul to the Corinthians, when he's saying farewell He's saying goodbye to the people there, just as Jesus is going to say farewell to us in the gospel. Paul might have given them a long list of rules, but he didn't. He kept it simple. And you have to keep in mind that Corinth at that time, this little community that Paul had worked with and nurtured and brought along, and now he knew was leaving behind, was like Las Vegas would be for us. But this is what he says to them. He says, first, put things in order. Prioritize. Put the first things first. Do that. Live in peace. To live in peace, we all know we need to learn how to compromise. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Be the people of welcome. These are simple things, and the presence of them makes the world go better, and the absence of it makes it go backwards, does it not? We can keep simple instructions. Go forward into the gospel story, and Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus says, I am the king of everything and all things. Having said that, he's going to give us some work to do, some orders, some direction, and he keeps it simple. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Now, when the king of everything tells you what to do, I think you should be paying attention. Do you agree? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That's all of them. The ones that look like you and the ones that don't. The ones that speak like you, the ones that don't. All cultures. All nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, we might say, well, I can't baptize people, so I'm off the hook. Well, maybe, but every Sunday when we baptize a little baby in the back there, what do the rest of us say? We say, welcome to the household of God. We all have a part in baptism. And he continues, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And you might say, well, I'm no theologian, I'm no teacher, I'm no Bible student. You don't need to be. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you, which was pretty much two things. Love God and love each other. We can do that. That's our responsibility. That's what the Great Commission is, for us to all go out in the world and do that. So says the King of all things. And if you say, well, I'm not really good at that, I can't really go out and, well, geez. Unless you're one of the fair few people where God speaks directly into your ear, then you're going to get to tell people the story of God, how God has moved in your life just the way you learned it. Haven't we all gotten our faith started that way? Somebody else told us how God and Jesus Christ moved in their life. And Jesus says, that's how I want you to do it. That's how I want you to spread the word. I heard a great sermon. Some others heard it yesterday. And the woman said, Jesus didn't say, if you build it, they will come. He said, get out there and tell them. And that is the Great Commission. But it's not so very complicated. We just tell people how he moves in our life. And if we're concerned we can't do a good job, he ends with, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The presence of the Holy Spirit, which came into our world at Pentecost. And he says, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And this is where sometimes it doesn't seem so simple to me. Jesus says, well, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me, but I'm going to sit on the right hand of the Father. And before he ascends into heaven, he says, remember, I'm with you always. Well, are you staying or are you going, Jesus? I can make it pretty complicated, but he promised that he wouldn't leave us alone, that he'll give us a counselor. And I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't understand the holy arithmetic that says 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals one. I also don't understand how you bring your son into the world through a virgin and you raise him from the dead and how you walk on water, and I don't understand how microwave ovens work either, but I believe that they do. I don't have to understand this, but I accept that I cannot. I cannot accept that God is in three persons. I cannot understand how God is in three persons. But I accept and I believe that he is, that we're never left alone. And so therefore, when he says, remember, I am with you always, I take comfort. And he says, to the end of the age. When I consider about that, well, we know that he was with us from the beginning of the age. Trevor did a beautiful job with reading half the Old Testament this morning. When we hear about God being with us from the beginning of the age, remember there's a little garden, it's a beautiful garden, and a river runs through it, and there are two trees there. And then you go to the opposite end of the Bible, the very last chapter of Revelation. And when Jesus says, it is finished, the end of this age, when he promises he'll be with us that far, now he promises beyond. Because he says, I'm bringing down a new city, a new Jerusalem, one without a temple for people to fight over. But in the middle of that holy city, there will be a throne. And on that throne will be the Lamb. And coming from that throne, down through the middle of it runs a river. And on either side of it is a tree. And so we get returned eventually to the beauty of the beginning of creation. These things should be enough for us to understand and be compelled that we have a part in the Great Commission, that we have God our Father and his Son Jesus, and we're never left alone by the Holy Spirit, and we're to go out in the world in that way. But I'll leave you with this final thought. These are some words, if it seems difficult to you, that are attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and he says, preach the gospel always, and when absolutely necessary, use words. Amen.